The wrongs, we must right. The fights, we must win. The future we must secure together for our nation. This is what's in front of us. This determines what's next for all of us. We are Marines. We were made for this.
Welcome back to Listen to Your Heart. I'm Jerry.
And I'm Jerry's Heart.
Today's topic, Repatha, Evolokimab. Heart, why'd you pick this one?
Well, Jerry, for people who have had a heart attack, like us, diet and exercise might not be enough to lower the risk of another one.
Okay.
To help know if we're at risk, we should be getting our LDL-C, our bad cholesterol, checked, and talking to our doctor.
I'm listening.
And if it's still too high, Repatha can be added to a statin to lower our LDL-C and our heart attack risk.
Guess it's time to ask about Repatha.
Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Serious allergic reactions can occur. Get medical help right away if you have trouble breathing or swallowing, swelling of the face, lips, tongue, throat, or arms. Common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar, and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site.
Listen to your heart.
Ask your doctor about Repatha. Learn more at Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA.
The last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
A very interesting report from the Department of Enterprise about recent trends in migration and availability of people in the jobs market has shown, Sarah McGuinness, political correspondent at the Irish Daily Mail, what sort of outnumbering of men by women when it comes to leaving the country.
Yeah, Matt, so there's been a surge in women emigrating in comparison to men really since the pandemic. So the number of women emigrating from Ireland has jumped 56% since 2020. And this Department of Enterprise document has kind of conceded that the rising cost of accommodation with Ireland is likely fueling that. So the paper shows that changes in the increase in emigration is like vastly bigger in terms of women in comparison to men.
So the numbers are that it's 39,100 women as against 26,300 men. And that is unique, isn't it?
That's yeah, well, officials said before. It was surprising because I suppose it's kind of come out of nowhere. Historically, they would have been, I imagine, slightly skewed the other way, but it really it's within a 5-year period, and they've pointed to significant numbers of Irish emigrants travelling to Australia and Canada. So my first reaction to looking at these figures was thinking of my own, my own anecdotal evidence. If you think of the profession whereby young people are emigrating the most would be jobs like healthcare and teaching. And nurses and midwives and teachers at a primary and secondary school level are mostly made up of women. That could explain this kind of surge in recent years. It's been well documented how standards in the pay and conditions of nurses and midwives and teachers have been deteriorating in recent years. Since the pandemic, we've had the cost of living crises. The housing crisis is only getting worse. So that might be what's kind of driving this trend here.
A listener says, my daughter went to Australia 2 years ago, 25 years of age, and will stay for another year. She works as a wind turbine technician, went because a lot of her friends have gone, and a chance to save up for a house deposit here when she returns. Also to experience life abroad and social scene in small town Ireland is gone along with the youth. There's a little bit more of that one I won't get to. Senator Laura Harman of the Labour Party, is this something different in that previously people went from the country because they couldn't get jobs? Now they're leaving because they are qualified for jobs that are there, but other reasons are persuading them.
Absolutely. I mean, I think it's down to paying conditions here as well. And I would agree with Sarah. I mean, my first, reaction when I heard about these figures, more women, leaving than men, is that a lot of the professions that we're losing, teachers, healthcare workers, the early years sector as well, I suppose they are dominated by women. So, it is no surprise, in that sense. The government has also said that they're going to cap childcare fees. That's certainly something that affects women and men. But certainly I think we have an issue here in terms of conditions, for workers. And I suppose it's fitting today, being May Day as well, we're hearing a lot about workers' rights. We need to protect that. The government are stalling in relation to introducing a living wage here as well. I mean, that's something that the Labour Party, has long called for. But of course, people travel for different reasons. People travel for experience, to see the world, But it is very worrying. And we also know that we have the highest levels of youth immigration now since 2015. So we're seeing people leaving, even though we have high employment opportunities. Of course, there's an embargo in terms of recruitment, you know, in the healthcare sector as well. So that is affecting, you know, nurses who are leaving the country. So we do need to keep, I think, our skilled workers here. We are losing key workers.
And Laura, you've personal experience of this, haven't you?
I do. I mean, I have four younger sisters and three of them have left the country. One is in Canada and two are in Barcelona. Now, they're not teachers and they don't work in healthcare. But I know from their experience, my sister, Michelle, for example, was living at home with my parents and, you know, she was struggling to find somewhere to rent. She got an opportunity, you know, she ran with it because she didn't see a future here for the minute. She doesn't see home ownership in her future. There's a lot of things that don't work in this country. I mean, public transport, for example, could be more effective. We're seeing people as well commuting for long distances, living in overcrowded accommodation. You know, a lot of our healthcare staff having to put up with these conditions, whereas in other countries, you know, they may not have that. I hope that my sisters will return.
I was just about to ask you that. Would you expect them to return?
I think that, you know, they'll make that decision. I suppose life takes different twists and turns, doesn't it, depending on who you meet and how your life goes. But, you know, I think they'd love to be able to come back. And I think that's the thing. We need to give people a future to look forward to in Ireland. We need to make sure that people can aspire to home ownership, that they can aspire to have, you know, secure jobs with good, not just good pay, but good conditions as well. I mean, and I hear from people as well, you know, in Cork, if I'm knocking on doors, I hear from a lot of people, women and men, who are worried about, you know, making the decision between can I afford childcare or can I enter the workforce? And we're trying to encourage more women into the workforce and we need to support that. And I think capping childcare costs is going to be key and moving towards a public model of childcare.
Okay, although I think these figures apply mainly to the 15 to 24 category. Now, I'm assuming there are very few 15, 16, 17-year-olds emigrating. So it's those who have finished school or finished college. And I wonder, Sarah McGuinness, how much of it is down to not issues like childcare, because that might be a bit premature for these younger women, but it's simply about wanting to be able to move out of home. And if you can't afford to move out of home in Ireland, you might as well go and see the world.
Yeah, well, if you're from Dublin or the commuter belt, it's far more common to emigrate as opposed to rent in Dublin, just because people don't see the value in it. And like, this obviously is set on the context of travel being a more accessible option than it would have been for our like generations that have gone before this 15 to 24 year old cohort. It's set on the backdrop of, you know, people living longer, working longer and taking breaks, like I suppose mini career breaks while they're after they leave college or whatever. But I think definitely, you know, like it's from anecdotal evidence of my friends, they figure that if they're going to be spending €800 to live in Dublin, they might as well fly to the other side of the world and have a nicer quality of life in Sydney. But like, obviously this, like, I don't think that any emigration figures can be looked at without reflecting the fact that young people do want to travel. They do want to see the world. They do want changes. But I think it is interesting that the Department of Enterprise has noted in these figures that what we would have seen in the financial crash in an upsurge in emigration because there were no job opportunities here, that trend has been bucked. There are employment opportunities here. People just don't want to live in Ireland, young people specifically.
Laura, could there be a positive thing to be taken out of this, though, that there are more opportunities for women to go and explore the world that might have been available to earlier generations?
Well, I think people make decisions, you know, for different reasons, whether they stay in Ireland, whether they leave. I mean, moving to Australia is a huge decision. It's literally, you know, the other end of the world. And people do leave for opportunities and, you know, for new experiences. But at the end of the day, you know, if we're forcing people, you know, to leave this country because they don't see a future here, I think that is of major concern. And I mean, many of these are highly educated, you know, they're going through college here and, you know, we're training a lot of people to leave. And I think that is very, very concerning that we're losing key workers. I mean, we have a teacher shortage, we have a guards shortage, we are losing healthcare workers. And I do think a lot of this does boil down to the housing crisis. I think the housing crisis is a threat to our economy. And it is affecting the experience of people working in this country and living in this country.
There's lots of comments coming in. I have two children in Vancouver, both with good jobs, but the cost of living is high there, even higher than here, but the quality of life and leisure is far better. And then there are other listeners suggesting that Australia is really, really expensive to live in, and that it's great to do for a couple of years, but people will come back. My sister left last year. Only reason she wants to see Australia and New Zealand. She's a teacher and was working here, but decided before she even graduated that she wanted wanted to see the world. Another one, travelling is grand if you can't afford to live in Dublin, but the travelling is done and you want to come home, you're starting to save money from scratch again. Is that going to be the problem, that for all the talk of high paid jobs overseas, if people go to places like Dubai, they may not be able to save enough, and then they're starting maybe a few years later, Sarah, trying to get places here in Ireland?
I don't think that's really of concern to people in this cohort anyway, because they could be I'm renting in Dublin, you know, I could be using that money on travelling. I'm probably not going to be much further ahead on them with the way house prices are going, if you get me. I think the general mentality is, you know, I could be working in a job, paying rent and still blowing money on that. That's not going to get me a deposit for a house either. You know, it's all kind of, it's also like the immediacy of youth and whatever, you know, people are tending to live more in the moment, I guess, than maybe planning, because they know how hard planning can be.
And we also know that it's not just women who are emigrating in this age cohort, it's men as well. But what's interesting is that it's more women, significantly more women than men. Thank you, Sarah McGuinness, political correspondent to the Irish Daily Mail, and Senator Laura Harman of the Labour Party for being with us.
The Last Word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
The wrongs we must right. The fights we must win. The future we must secure together for our nation. This is what's in front of us. This determines what's next for all of us. We are Marines. We were made for this.